I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to In The Pocket. My name's Johnny.
And my name's Chris.
Two totally average bass players. We're here to talk all about that bass. As well as answering your questions at home, each week we take a look at the latest news, maybe break down some tones, or to give you the lowdown on the low end. Chris, Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year? I was just about to say that. Oh, I haven't seen you all year.
Wowee. Oh, it's seen you since last year.
How, what was your threshold of how far away from New Year's Eve did you tell someone, see you next year?
Do you know what? The furthest away or the closest? Because
so I want like if the central point is actually New Year's Eve.
Okay.
How far like back in advance? You know, like the 26th of December. You know that kind of thing.
The 20th. No, the 19th.
You got me beat. Mine was the 22nd.
Nah, 19th. Mine was last day of work.
Very good.
But yeah, but it's been off. You know. Good start so far, I guess. But what is it now? It's the third. I'm not hating life yet, so that's fine. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
Today's episode, it's going to be all about the new year, basically. We're going to look at what is to come, our aims, our hopes and goals, maybe what our live tones are going to look like this year. Just kind of, start things afresh and get you guys' input. You guys' input on what we're going to do in the future.
Your input.
As well. Your input. Thank you. We need one of us to be professional.
Well, I've got a fun fact for you. That is because I know a bit of radio lingo now. You never speak plural. You always go...
Interesting.
So it's like kind of like you would never say, thank you everyone for listening. It would always be like, thank you for listening. And it's like, we want to hear what you think. Mm. It's like you're talking to one person. So yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Nice. Well, let's start this whole thing again then.
Let's start again.
And say, yeah, okay.
Welcome, just you, one singular listener to In
Hello,
the Pocket.
David. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Michael.
I was going to say Michael. That's so you? Weird. Of all the names. Yeah. So well done, Michael. You got in our heads. First of all, Chris, I think it's worth us saying up top, you guys should definitely go and follow us on Instagram. We're not going to stop talking about it until you do it. All right, Michael? So go and do it.
Come on, Michael.
At In The Pocket Pod, where you can see all the latest shorts and reels from us and also get involved. Ask us questions for this very podcast and see what guests are coming up in the future. We've got some exciting ones in the pipeline for you this year. If there's anyone you want to see on the podcast this year, please go and comment it on our pinned post that we have on there. And then we'll do our best to see what we can do. When we have guests on, what we like to do from now on, one thing that we're going to be doing this year is asking them some quick fire questions. We tested this out with Ian Martin Allison in that episode. And I think you'll agree it went down really well, Chris, don't you?
I think it went pretty well. I was a big fan.
Yes. And so we think with guests from now on to finish things off, we are going to do that. But of course, you guys will probably want to know what our answers to those questions are. So we're going to start things off in this podcast by going through those quick fire questions. Okay. Chris, are you ready?
Maybe. Let's find out.
Well, let's go. I'm gonna fire through them. Are we gonna elaborate or do we just want our one word answers?
Well, we're not allowed to elaborate.
No,
we refused because Chatterbox Allison wanted to elaborate on everything and we were like, no, you're not allowed. Like,
yeah,
are you just gonna ask me the question and then you'll answer it yourself? Because I hate to say it, dear listeners, but Johnny's a lot more organized than me and he's got the he's got it written down and I don't. So that's that.
Wowee. Thank you so much. Flattery will get you everywhere. I will answer it as well.
And we'll go very well. That. I okay. am. Let me just have a sip of my non-alcoholic gin and tonic.
Wowee. Let me have a sip of my alcoholic water.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yes, pure ethanol. Jeez. We don't have Ian in the background to do his drone.
No, we don't. And he didn't. And he didn't play properly on the episode anyway.
It didn't translate very well. But in the room,
that was such a shame. But yeah, it was good for me and you.
Yeah, there we go. Right. So no change to the audience. So we can crack on and they'll know nothing else. Right. Yeah. First question. Here we go. Chris Horrocks, pick or fingers?
Pick.
I am also going to say pick.
Because apparently we're not very good bass players because we like playing with picks.
No, absolutely not. There's not even a mention of slapping here.
Exactly. Listen, I did 2 hours on stage last night and I only played with fingers because I forgot my pick. I can do it. I just like playing with a pick more, okay?
I thought you could say, I've earned my keep, all right? I've done enough.
All right. Yeah.
I'm representing yeah. the players, man. Okay, second question. Active or passive?
Passive. Do you like both, but passive?
I'm going to say it's the same answer, really, but overall, passive for yeah. sure.
Mm. Very well.
Next question.
Rounds. I can't roll my R's. So flats. No, I'm kidding. It's rounds. I've got a tone control. It's rounds. It's okay.
Yeah. For me, overall, for what I'm doing, it's always rounds. I am getting more into flats though now, but I don't think I could ever put them above rounds for me as like the usable sounds that I do. I like having flats around.
Yeah, but it's gig dependent. But if I had to only pick one and that was it, I would have to go with rounds.
Nice. Next question. 4-string or 5?
4.
Are you playing golf? Have I got to like look out for a ball coming my way? 4?
Yep.
Woof. 5? What? It's 4 for me.
It's 4. I'm not smart enough for 5. I'm trying as well. I really struggle to play normal songs on a 5-string. Just that extra string just still confuses me.
Yeah, I've not had to like properly do that. I might make that a goal 2024. Maybe practice a bit more doing that. I'll save that. I'll talk about that later. Next question though. IEMs, in-ear monitors, or wedges?
In-ears.
Ooh.
In-ears.
Having only used them on like a couple of occasions, I have to say wedges because I don't really have the experience using them. So wedges for me. I've had some great sounds through wedges, but hit or miss. But yeah,
I mean, in a perfect world, I would like in ears, but a wedge in front of me still for a bit of like. But if I had to pick, see, it seems to be for me every answer is both. But if I had to pick,
I'm just a peacemaker. You're like, yes, all of them. I don't want to say
classic,
not one.
Classic Libra, classic
God,
Libra.
What a Switzerland,
I know, right? Scum.
Right.
Moving on.
Did you just say the Swiss are scum?
No, I said Libras are scum.
The order of that did not go well.
No, it didn't.
You heard it here first. No, we're not going to cancel you on this. Not yet.
Not yet.
Question number 6. Tough one. P or J?
Oh. It's getting harder as well to decide these days. Right now, P. I think I'd prefer J though. You know, no. I'm going P. In the present moment, PP bass.
PP. For me, it's P. It always used to be J, but now I've come round to P.
We are maturing as musicians, apparently. We're becoming, it's like the Dull Men Facebook group.
I only heard about this week. Lily was telling me about it.
That is my Roman Empire.
Should we start like saying our shoe sizes at the start, or like just like the stupid things about us to introduce
like
ourselves
in
the intro?
Inside leg measurement.
Yeah.
What jacket size are you?
Wingspan.
Wingspan.
Incredible.
Chest to waist ratio.
Base height.
Base height of choice. My base strap lowers my base over the course of like 2 hours. Only realised the other day.
Start, you're up here, the end. You're like Chris Novoselic.
No, but my gig last night, genuinely, I think it's an old strap, to be fair. I've had it for a very long time. It was up at like a kind of, if you were sat down, it would be in the same place. It was like Sting. And definitely by the time we were like an hour and a half in, I was like, this has got lower. This has definitely got lower. Just get more cool as the gig goes on.
Absolutely. It's the, you know, as the crowd loosens up, so does your strap.
Exactly.
The moisture of the sweat in the air just leaking in and making it slippy.
Absolutely. Might get a new strap though, but treat myself. But until then, no.
Fair enough. Go with the slippy strap. Next question. P or poo? No, I'm just joking. It's
poo.
I go for a piss-poo double up all the time. Every day. Number 7. Desert island base.
Oh. Tricky this. At the moment, I'm really enjoying my PJ Godan a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, it's right here.
Hey,
it's there.
There it is.
There it is.
Set design. Nice.
I know quarter pounders get a bit of stick for being really scooped, but cool kids scoop the mids. We've been over this.
It is true. You'll
excess
hear about my tone in a minute.
excess mid-range equals you getting turned down, mate.
Getting into the bin.
Absolutely. And I'm really enjoying it. It's got 4 different pickup selectors. I'm using all of them. Little different pickup options. Really like it.
4?
4.
What? How? What's 4? What's the 4th?
PJ series.
Oh,
PJ parallel.
I forgot about that.
P on its own. J on its own.
Yes. I thought you were going to say P, J, PJ, and then just off.
And off.
Yeah. Yeah. 5th setting. Off. Nice. There's an island base for me.
Go on.
I'm tempted to go in the same realm of saying like, RPJ, but a very safe answer. If I were to go down to one base, I mean, I think it'd be a P base, you know, which is so sad sounding, but I always come back around to really enjoying it. And like slap tones, when I hear slap on a P, I'm like, ooh, yeah, like so wrong, it's right.
I know it's what's the Bruno Mars song? Treasure, slap
yes.
on a P, it's so good.
Yes, yes. So I'd have to say that in terms of a specific one, I guess I'd say my Fender Japanese P bass, but don't know.
And that is a nice bass.
It's a very nice bass. I like it a lot.
Can't be denied. It is a good bass.
Next question, shall we?
Yes.
Best bass effect.
Chorus.
Excellent dead air that we just had. That I might cut it.
Absolutely.
I might extend it.
Oh, please do.
Put in some like crickets.
Put some like elevator music on.
Maybe I'll just repeat what we're doing chorus, you say?
Yes, I said chorus, yeah.
Nice. Well, I do love a bit of chorus. In terms of modulation, it's definitely my favourite and the most usable, I think, for me, anyway, with my bass and what I do. I think, for me, best bass effect is going to go to, I mean, it's pretty basic, but overdrive for me.
Yeah.
I was
going to say that, but I figured, chorus.
I use it by far the most in terms of an effect. I use preamps a lot as well and compression. I'm not really going to count those. I mean, compression is an effect, I suppose. So well, yeah,
but I don't count
seconds.
It as like a creative tool. There'll be people who will use it as a creative tool, but I don't count it as that.
Oh, it's an always on for me. It's like a tone sculpting thing for me, or what I do for like the standard tone, whereas effect is when I'm turning on and off, and that'd be like a gain stage and drive. So I really like drive. I'm a pretty basic bitch, man. That's what we should have called this podcast.
Basic bitches.
Is it too late? Is it too late to change?
It might be too late now. Only just, but I think it might be.
That might be an unpopular opinion. Speaking of, number 9. Unpopular base opinion.
You're going to have to go first. I can't think of one.
This is a hard one. I feel like I've come up with
I feel like I should have prepped for this and I didn't.
Some over the years. Okay. I feel like I've got two. I'm going to...
Go on.
One's like, yeah, and then one's a bit like, ooh, really?
Do both.
I'm going to do both. Okay. High-mass bridges aren't that good.
Oh, good one. Good one.
People flipping love high-mass bridges. Never go on with them. I don't know. They just... whenever I've done mods and changed the outfit, I prefer it at all. So I'd say that. And then my second one is octave is overrated.
Ooh, it's a good... I got to be honest, I've never really been able to get the whole octave thing working for me.
No, I haven't.
I want to as well.
And I don't get the OC2 thing either. Like, when I hear octave, and this... Where have you... just turned into like Tinky Winky now.
I didn't touch that.
It's got all purple.
What was that?
If you're not watching the video version of this, Chris's light's just disappeared, and he's turned into Violet Beauregard from... Oh, now he's red. My goodness.
You won't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, now you're in night vision.
What?
It's like
what
Solid Snake
that?
Or something.
That was well weird. He just went into like rave mode. Oh, there we go.
Can we have it on rave mode all the time?
Do we really? Oh, that's blue. No.
Blue Man Group. Now he's a Simpson.
Oh.
Wow, really going through the motions. That's the best one. Just keep it off.
I think I'm just going to leave it on this.
Yes, go. That's perfect.
Yeah, let's do that. The octave thing, the OC2 thing, it's meant to be you play an octave up, so there's no difference in pitch, but there is a difference in like the tone. It's a little bit more rounder and envelopey.
Yeah.
And I just can't get it to work.
No.
Which is annoying because I want to be a bit of an octave guy. Like, you know, I like it. I like the sound. It's just it just never works for me.
I just never use it either. And I don't know. It's just never something that's that functional. And people rave about it. And I'm like, I just don't get it. And that's, you know, that's me being naive and just not having had experience with it. I know. I don't at me. In fact, at me. You know what? Bring it on. At me.
Yeah. I'm still struggling with one for me.
I've done two, man.
Yeah. I should have thought about this because I know I'll come up with an absolute blinder of one tomorrow.
Ew. Well, why don't we... We can crack on if you want, and then we
can
come back to it if you think about one.
Yeah. If it pops in my head while we do the episode, I'll think of one because a lot of mine I can't like... Yeah. Like, you know, it's not even an unpopular opinion, but I'm a big fan of like getting the mid-range out of the way. A clean DI is overrated.
Ooh.
Definitely could put that in there.
Yeah, that's for some folks.
I think the most amount of people who said to me, I think a clean DI is best, are either not bassists or they haven't thought about tone in any way. But
I think
that's just
clean DI, like I'm into it now, the clean DI thing, but... I like it with like maybe like the DCX bass on or something.
You wouldn't say it's better though, would you? You would say it's just an additional
and
idea.
And only for certain things, like for like a finger style thing, I really like that. Like, I put up a reel of Matt's Foreign Saku bass, and that's just the DI, and it sounded great, and testament to how good the bass sounds.
Ooh.
But like,
I'll do a hot take.
Oh, here we go.
When you're using drive, don't always have to have a cab sim.
Oh, that is a hot take.
Yeah, because I've noticed, like, recording stuff, like, run a drive as just a DI. You know, it's not going into a cab sim. Roll off above 6K, you know, like in your recording software. Like, get rid of that, and you might have to boost a little low end to compensate. But that tone, just as in without the cab sim, just get straight through the mix. If that's what you want, if you want like a really boisterous, you know, something like quite grungy, and you want this really like gnarly bass tone, ditch the cab sim. If you want to gel with the guitars and make a one big sound, then yeah, probably best you go for a cab sim.
I mean, a bad fart always cuts through, so it's not always a good
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Well.
But yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I am a fan of a cab sim, as we'll find out in our next section. I think that's it for all of our quickfire questions. We do have another one about favorite Star Wars character base, but we've already answered that in the not the last episode, the episode before that with Ian. So if you want to hear the answer to that one, definitely go back and have a listen for yourselves. Christopher, shall we move on to the next segment?
I believe we should do that.
Marvelous. I mentioned about our tones and what we're going to do for 2024. As I said in the intro, we were talking about that tone you own, bringing along a tone, and we haven't done that ourselves for a long time. So I think it's about time.
No, it's been a while.
Let's refresh. New year. We've both been fiddling with our rigs a little bit and trialing some things over the Christmas period with our live sounds. So I think it's good to check in and have a little tone update about what we want to do for our sounds this year and have a listen to some samples that we've recorded today and explain our updated rigs, because I think people would quite enjoy that. And I want to hear your rig.
And I want to hear your rig too.
Hey, nice. So where should we start? Would you like to go first, young man?
No, I think I would like you to go first.
Oh, okay. Well, I would like you to go first.
That's tough shit, isn't it?
I have had a chip on my shoulder, okay?
One
minor thing will piss me off at a gig, and I'll be like, right, changing everything. I want to get rid of that.
Okay, go on.
The whole idea of my rack rig was to have everything in one place. One thing, plug in the cab, bang, go. I played a festival in summer, and I had to walk so far carrying this rig, and it was very heavy, and I was like, no, I don't like this. And don't get me wrong, that night I had the best live tone I've ever had, or top two, I'd say. And so no grumbles about that, but I was like, that's a shame, that kind of pissed me off. Then I thought, what if I did a pedal board rig? And that's what got me down the path, working with Rock Board by Warwick and getting a board and like trying to build and get the Ashdown Ant, you know, trying to build a rig that is just on a pedal board. So I had the bass rigs from Origin Effects on there, put together that video. And then I sent you, Chris, a photo of the kind of 2.0 version with a compressor on there, the Sans Amp making its way in, the DCX bass from Origin, and a kind of an updated version. Then I went to sleep and I stayed up until like 2:30 in the morning. I'm not joking.
Amateur.
Yeah. Not a real musician, clearly.
Not a real musician, mate.
Awake, just like, I cannot stop thinking about pedal boards. This is the nerdy. People think being a musician is cool. It's really not. So I just had this idea about how I could be using the Rock Board better and how I could make the rig just better, because, and something that is all in one, a home recording rig, a live rig, and also a live recording rig. So all three in one, because I want to, like you're doing, we're kind of on this journey together a little bit, recording our bass tones live for content and for just listening back to how we did. And so figuring out a way to do that is foolproof, you know, in a way that's going to work for me. Apologies if I'm banging on a little bit. I will talk about the gear now. So I have decided that I also wanted to bring the HX Stomp back out of retirement from my home setup to be on stage. It can do so much. And I want to, just want it live again. I missed having some drives that I could turn on and off as well and having some presets. So I've now got that set up. I'm going to move my mic a little bit. And then I'm actually going to get the pedal board. It's right.
Oh, my. That's a great idea. When it's my turn, I'll do that as well.
Oh, wow. So, gosh.
Here oh, God.
There we go. Okay, so. Here she is.
You bet this is going on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see through it. Can you hear me through it?
Yeah, just. You've gone, you're a bit overdriven now.
Okay. It's because I've got the drive on. Hang on, let me turn it
yeah.
on. Hello and welcome to In the Pocket.
This is like the bass version of. Have you watched The Holiday?
Yes.
This is the bass version of Mr. Napkinhead.
It's got to get my tongue through somehow.
Oh, I'm Mr. Napkinhead.
I'm trying. Hang on. Oh, I can't reach.
Don't lick that.
It's been on my dirty floor already. Okay, so. I've got the Mod 5 cab sim and patch bay on the back of this, of the Warwick. So it means that I plug my cable into the back of this from the base into the cable and a cable comes out and can go into a live recording thing. So I can either go out through the DI or go out through a line out into some kind of recorder. So at home, I'm plugging that into my interface to record. Or I can do the DI, but I tend to prefer to do that. I'll explain that in a bit. From there, it goes into the MXR compressor down here. Oh, sorry, wireless to compressor to Sansamp to DCX to HX Stomp to Dark Glass E500, my bass head, which is now attached to my pedal board, like so. I can still access everything on there, so it's not an inconvenience. Then from there, front of house and to the cab. Okay, I'm going to stop that now. What this means I can do in the HX Stomp, I'm running a split signal. So on the right hand side, it's going to a amp and cab sim, which is then going to be the recorded sound. Then on the left, it's just got some drive and chorus with different gain stages that I can change between those because I have a fairly driven sounds naturally. And then I just like to turn one on to have it a little bit more. It means that drive is going to the Dark Glass and a different drive is getting turned on at the same time, bit more subtle drive on the on the amp sim. So it means that I'm in one press activating two different things and it's splitting off two different ways. It's quite simple. It sounds complicated, but it's not too bad. That's basically it. It means that my whole thing is just this one board. It's not too heavy. It's in a hard case on the floor. Flexibility. Love it. Sounds pretty cool, I think, as well. I will show you a sound demo now. First of all, you're going to hear the DI out on the head. So this is what will be going to front of house. You'll hear it the clean version. And then when I hit the drive on as well, and that is the Rat clone in the HX Stomp. And then the same thing, but using the Galleon Kruger amp and cab sim on the recorded version. So that's what I'll use for the demos sometimes, and that version is what I'll be using for live recording as well. That's quite a lot, and it sounds very complicated, and I'm sorry. But
that would have been even better if you went, it sounds like a lot, it's very complicated, and I'm not sorry.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was about to correct myself. I'm not. Join me, please, in my nerdiness about this. I will try to do some videos on this to better explain that whole setup. But yeah, before we listen to the sound, any questions?
So many.
why are you like this?
The first one is why. The second one is why don't you just take a DI?
Number one, get in the bin. Number two.
Yeah, the best part is there will be someone thinking about this going, you've got a Sansamp on the board. Why are you not just taking the Sansamp and just
I can do
bass Sansamp front of house done.
Because I think it sounds like ass.
Oh, that's fair.
I've boring. Done that.
I've done. Yeah, it's boring. That's
so
why.
Exciting. No, like the rig itself, like isn't. If you think about it from front of house or to cab, it's pretty simple. It's just compressor, preamp, drive, amp. Like that's it. That's really. It's just set up. The HX Dom splitting bit is the bit that's weird. But yeah, that's just
but
because
at the
I'm
same
doing
time,
a
that is almost
thing.
Just for. That's kind of just for you, really.
Exactly. So take your opinions and shove them where the bass don't sound.
With the sun don't shine.
With the sun don't shine, son. So that's basically it. Shall we have a listen to what it sounds like?
Let's have a listen.
So there we go. Like I said, that was the amp and then driven and then the kind of amp sim recorded one and then driven. Slightly different sounds got there. I'm going to try and change the HX Stomp one to be a little, to try and replicate the other one a little bit more. I did try going out through the send of the dark glass and sending that to the DI, to the DI, the XLR out on the pedal board to record that. I didn't really get the results I wanted, so I need to experiment a little bit more. This is a whole work in progress board at the moment, but kind of get where I'm going for. It's very zingy. Very fresh strings. What you were hearing there was the vintage Icon V4, so that bass costs £300 to £400. I think it's about £350. Brand new strings on it. Through a cab, not so zingy. So when you're hearing it on the big speakers, I think it sucks a little bit of that out. But yeah, I've not played this live yet, so some of that might need to come out a little bit. But believe it or not, most of that zing is coming from my pick attack. So I'm just like slamming it in those places. So yeah, there we go. Thoughts?
I dig it. I think it sounds pretty good. Very zingy, but that'd be the new strings. Yeah, no thoughts. I just think it sounds pretty good. I'm very curious to hear if and what you change after you gig it, because I would look at that and go, there's too much treble. But that's just me in like my line of work. I'd look at that and go, way too, like, you know,
oh, yeah.
Super high-end picky part. But we are hearing it in isolation as well, which is worth noting.
And that's what's interesting, is that our approaches to this will be so different, because mine is going for that, you know. It is that the very trebly and drivey kind of tone that I tend to use live, and when I've had the best results is when chasing that kind of thing. And for you, yeah, you'd never use something like that for like the covers and the weddings. Can you imagine showing up to a wedding with that?
I would love to smash that tone at a wedding.
But yeah, it's a bit of a combination, really. It's like I said, things will probably change EQ wise on that one a little bit, and that's not the normal bass that I play either, because Matt's got my P bass at the minute. So
it's on loan.
He's borrowing it at the minute, so without my baby at the moment, so a different bass, etc. So things will change, you know, see what we can do. Shall we move on to yourself?
I think it's my turn. Yes. So I'm going to try and pick my pedal board up as well. Let me just... this isn't going to work.
Can't wait. Cannot wait for this.
So close to that.
I think we might have similar size pedal boards, ?
No, mine's smaller.
You said it.
Hey, now I'm a Trez 3.1.
Oh, I'm a quad. 4 is bigger than 3.
I bet you are. Now, I'm going to hit everyone with a really big disclaimer. The power supply to my pedal board is falling off at the moment because I was rewiring it very quickly before a gig, and I haven't stuck it on yet. So tomorrow, it's getting cable-tied in place because it keeps falling off. But yeah, this is the mothership, if you will. Ready?
Wow, way. Oh, it's blinding me.
Look at that. I can see you as well. There I am.
Hello.
I can see Goodness. You in the gap. So, as you can see, this is the Warwick Rockboard Trez 3.1. In terms of things on the board, only two things, unlike you. Granted, one of them is ridiculous overkill for a bass player, but I stand by what I use. So you'll see they've got a, this is the mod 3, I think, patch bay on top.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
Two XLR outputs, one XLR input, three jack inputs. Well, you can choose to make those jacks inputs or outputs depending on your needs. But yeah, most of the time I'm running a cable into one of the inputs, bypassing the wireless and going straight into the front of the quad cortex.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a wireless gig, I'm obviously going into the wireless, and then you'll see the quad cortex has two inputs. So I just select input 2 on the quad cortex, and there is no difference. Yeah. So yeah, so this is the fancy pants quad cortex rig. I'm just going to tweak it so hopefully you can see the screen. How's that?
I can.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so you'll see it looks a bit complicated, but it's not. We go in on one side. We go all the way across, and then in that top, I'm going to say top right-hand corner, that essentially just does like a roll down onto the bottom row. So what you're kind of looking at there is a bit of EQ, some compression, and then it goes onto the bottom row where we've got an SVT, a noise gate, an 810, a bit more compression, and a bit more EQ. And then the only extra bit that's worth noting is when I click these buttons, which I will now click now off camera.
Oh, I heard it.
Just click them. Absolutely. You'll see that these two little lights have come on.
Hello.
No, they've not. Why have they not come on?
It's
yes,
died.
They have. Oh, that's why. Because I'm in the wrong mode. Whoopsie. I'm in preset mode, and I don't want to be in preset mode. I want to be in stomp mode. I can't take the lid off the K&K Shield screen protector right now because I've got it locked in place. And then the power supply has fallen out.
Great.
The bottom of the board.
It's all going well.
Oh, right. I'm going to put this down. But the point I was going to make was I have a crossover in place in the, just think of it as like it's the whole rig in one box. There's a pedal board and then there's an amp, and that's just the two rows. The top row has a splitter, which is doing a crossover at 250 hertz. So when I'm adding drive or I'm adding chorus, which is the only two things I use for this preset, I'm just not touching that low end. It's just staying nice and consistent, nice and clean. But apart from that, it is basically just an SVT with some compression, nothing crazy. I am now going to attempt to put it down. I am absolutely cable tying this tomorrow. This is absolutely ridiculous. I am a professional musician. Yeah, that was a mess. And what I'll do is, for the tone you're all about to hear, aggressive disclaimer. Very old strings. Very. I'm going to say 6 months old. Yeah, 6 month old rounds. Gigged very heavily. Hence why I think the main thing you'll see as a difference between my tone and your tone, Johnny, is just nowhere near as much like treble, nowhere near as much bite. Probably a bit more low mids because they're just dying off a little bit. I think it's an old set of Diodario Nickel 45 to 105s, if I remember correctly.
This is the go down, right?
Yeah, this is the Godan, and I think what you're going to hear is the first tone example you're going to hear is on the P pickup, which is a Seymour Duncan quarter pounder. Then on the second and third tone examples, it's in the J position, which is both pickups in parallel, which is what I'm doing most of the time. I'm running it as a PJ in parallel, a little bit of like a little bit of a thumpier jazz bass tone. And yeah, that's it. 90% of the that's 90% of the time I'm just on the clean setting. And then this is like my, how would I call it? My meat and potatoes bass tone. This is just what I bring to everything. It's like, it's a nice SVT with an 810. I very rarely need to tweak it. I'm yet to gig this preset with flats, but I'm very excited to give that a go. I fear it might be a bit too scooped for jazz. It's a very scoopy bass tone. Sorry, not for jazz, with flats.
I was so like, wow, it's branching out.
I know, wow, I'm a jazz guy now. I think with flats, it's going to lose the charm of the flat wound strings, and it's going to just be just low end, and there's going to be no, like, you know, character there. But I'm going to give it a go. I might do a video with this as well and record some stuff, film some stuff, then change the strings and do it again and watch all the zing come back into the tones. That might be exciting. But any questions on that one, Mr. Dibble?
I don't think so. I like the explanation you made. It's like a pedal board and an amp, you know.
Yes.
You know, it brilliant. No, I don't think so. We've done similar things in our like wireless setups where it's like got a cable ready to go. I can plug it in quick. If not, bam, like wireless is fine.
Because I leave a cable plugged in when I gig, if I'm gigging wirelessly, which isn't every gig, but most. But any gig can get away with it. I am.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going wireless.
Yeah. That's what I've done as well. And I've played some... that's one more thing. I played some big stages last year. If my wireless had gone, I would have been tethered to an 810 at the back of the stage, which would, like, I wouldn't be able to reach... I don't think I'd reach the mic, so...
Oh, yeah, that is a problem, yeah.
I'm just kind of, like, halfway point if I do, so... There we go. You never know.
You never know what...
No, you never know. Right. I think that was all my questions, etc. Let's have a listen to... this lovely setup right now.
Let's have a listen.
Well, I don't know about you, but I thought that sounded rather lovely. No complaints from this guy. I really like the first tone the best, I think, and the chorus playing obviously lovely. What was the difference between the first and then the like third one? Using a pick on the third one?
Pick, and the first one was in the P pickup position, and the second one was in the J position, really. The PJ. A jazz bass kind of setting is what I meant to say. Yeah. I really need to do a very aggressive disclaimer here to good old podcast alumni Eric. As a lot of my bass tone knowledge comes from ripping him off. Absolutely. But Eric's really good. Like, I'll come to him with questions all the time going, I can't get this right. And he'll be like, oh, try this, because that cab sim, for example, is essentially, Eric has just done a YouTube video on his channel talking about like a Jason Newsted style bass tone.
Yes. And what I've done is last night.
It's a good tone. So what I've done is I've gone in and I've not copied it. There is quite a bit difference, mainly the compression settings on the way out. I've tweaked the amp setting a little bit to be quite a bit cleaner, because I would prefer to have clean amp and then I'm adding a drive in that specific crossover way, whereas Eric's really good bass tone was basically the amp was being driven, and that just wasn't for me. For what I needed, it didn't suit my purposes.
Yeah.
And Eric runs like quite a lot more compression on his tones than I do, which is perfectly fine. It's just I wanted a bit more dynamics in the tone, so that's probably why you'll see there's a lot more. It kind of lifts off when it turns into the pick tone, but at the same time, it's still... Yeah.
Compression really depends on your playing style as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that first preset, the first example, I'm playing with my fingers quite soft. It's nothing too crazy. And then for the last one, I'm really digging in with the pick, because I want like as much like attack, especially when that drive comes on. I was a bit worried it was a bit too much with the drive. There's too much drive. But
not enough. More.
But in a gigging scenario, in a full mix, that drive is just enough to kind of like just tickle through a tiny bit. Not loads. Just kind of punch through. It's really good when you're playing in like a free piece and the guitarist starts playing like a high up part or a solo or something like that. It's just enough to kind of help fill that gap a little bit.
But it's not without like changing like, the tone.
Yeah, without being like a really aggressive fuzz tone or something that, you run that risk of just all your presence dropping out of the signal and things like that. But it's pretty good, solid gigging sound. I'm enjoying it very much. And I look forward to seeing what it sounds like with fresh strings.
That is the important thing, that you are enjoying it.
Absolutely.
We've both gone down like the pedal board route, which I'm excited about for 2024. Yeah.
Well, that's logistics for me. I just can't.
Yes. Well, no, me too.
There's just not enough room for an amp.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, because you previously had this set up with the Ashdown amp on there as well for powering a cab. What's your plan with a cab on stage?
I can't think of a gig I have this year where I'll be bringing a cab. Or a cab will even be there for me. But what I can do is there is room on that board to basically rotate the wireless 90 degrees, and then the ant sits in the occupied space and it fits just fine. And then I just run one of the additional outputs of the quad cortex before the cab and amp sim into the ant, and then off I go, which I've done quite a lot. What I might do, because I am also toying with getting an even smaller board, and just having like quad cortex and then really tightly bunched up against it is the wireless, and then that's it. For that, I will probably just when a cab is needed, I'll just take the amp in a bag and I'll plug it in manually that way.
Nice. Yeah. Good idea. If you've got room in the bag,
just no need for a cab at the moment, unfortunately. I would prefer to have a cab, but the tour that comes up at the end of this month, there's no room in the van for me to bring like a 410 as well. It's just not just not logistically possible. So I'm going to be on in ears and it will be front of house only.
Fair enough. I love it. Nice one. Super. Well, talking about things that are happening this year, shall we move on to our next segment?
Well, let's do just that.
Amazing. I keep pausing for musical interludes.
I know it's built in our muscle memory, isn't it?
Oh, there we go. Oh, well. So now I want to move on to talk about 2024. You know, what are our goals? What do we want to see in terms of the world of bass, whether that's gear or maybe our own gear, you know, things like that? What have we got coming up and what do we want to happen, basically? Why don't we start off with, I feel like we can talk quite a lot about our goals and what we want. Whilst we're on topic of gear, let's talk about that a little bit. Like, I've got a couple of ideas for things I want to see announced this year. We've got NAMM coming up and what we want there to be more of this year, or what trends I think there might be. First one for me, I would like to see some more power amp options. Like, the Ashdown Ant is such an underrated thing that
really
not many people know about, and I'm convinced that you and I have sold a few. Because
I think we have too. I am pretty confident at this stage.
Yeah, because I know people that have been like, oh, what is that? Oh, that sounds perfect. You know, oh, amazing. And it's something that I've been searching for a long time, because I love the idea of a pedalboard rig, and I think that it's such an underdone thing for bass players. I don't know why brands like Tech 21 haven't done it and things like that, when they're so famous for using or for making preamp pedals, you know, perfect to pair it up with something like that. So
for sure.
I want to see more things like that. If you got any ideas, or shall I crack on?
Not really in terms of things that are announced. I think I'm seeing more and more like kind of like smaller Class D amplifiers, like, you know, Ampeg released that series recently that we talked about a few episodes ago. Obviously, Data Glass have been doing the smaller heads for quite a long time now. Aguilar, obviously, these kind of things. I think logistically simple bass products are quite popular at the moment. You know, things that are kind of like, it's small, it's really loud, it gets the job done. You know, you don't have to drag around like a big SVT-sized head, and it's all about short and simple and to the point bass gear, which is something me and you are obviously not doing. nothing simple about this. What else? I think I can't think of much to do with trends at the moment. I feel like short scales might be coming back.
Like, I think
even more
been.
So.
Yeah.
You think they've been and gone?
Well, not been and gone. I think they're still here, but I think the trend started like early last year or even before that. I think we've been on this wave and we're still riding it. Cowabunga dudes.
Let's get it
on. The short scale boys are out to play. I think that moves me nicely onto my next one, because I think we might see some more medium scales. I think that's the next market where people kind of want that in between. I've played a couple of medium scales, and they're great. They do offer something just a little bit different. If you don't want to go the full hog and go shorter, so I think they're pretty cool. And I don't think we have got that many on the market, so I definitely see them doing a little bit more. Another thing I want to see more of is more affordable artist models or artist creations, shall we say.
Yeah,
maybe not
good
even
idea.
Like signature models, but creations. I'm talking mainly about like the Pete Wentz space and like things like that, where I want to see more more interesting creations from artists. That it doesn't have their logos and everything plastered over it. I know we've spoken at that length. Like, we don't want that. We know that, but I think it would be good to see some more affordable things coming back into the market. Because now we get, like, even the Mexican-made signature stuff is, like what, £1,500, £1,600, £1,700? And it's, like, just ridiculous. So what's the point?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So I would like to see a lot more of that this year. Have you got any specifics on, like, any brands that you think I want to see more from them?
Not really. And I think
I
want to
see nothing from no.
Yeah, I want to see nothing. I think that's because you're so much more on the pulse with gear and equipment than I am. Because I feel like I'm a lot more utilitarian than you. I'm like kind of, well, I have a P bass with flats, so I'm not interested in anything else. Or okay, I've got a 5-string. Any new 5-string doesn't interest me because like I've got a 5-string. That's done.
Yeah,
and then my rig is pretty much as is. So
yeah, nice. I get like excited and like, oh, a new P bass. Oh wow. It's nothing new.
Yeah,
it's new. It's shiny.
Yeah. You enjoy that a lot more than I do. I think mine's all the very like, well, no, I'm not saying you don't think of them as tools, but mine definitely are like worksman's tools.
Yeah.
Like, what do I need for this job? And then it's like, you know, I don't feel like a plumber would have several of the same wrench for no reason. It's like, I've got this wrench for this wrench for that, this tool for this. I don't need to, unless it's a spur, obviously. But, you know, you're not going to carry like six different hammers because you just fancy having six different hammers. But I don't know. I'm not a plumber, so I wouldn't know. But
you fooled me.
Yeah. The only thing I'm thinking about really is I want to see more from like, I know I bang on about this all the time, but I want to see more from Neural DSP from a bass perspective.
Yeah.
There's no new bass things. There's lots of guitar things coming out and new plugins and stuff like that. And a lot of that can be repurposed as a bass player, which is still interesting, don't get me wrong, but I want to see more bass-related stuff come into the Quad Cortex, more plugins. I want the plugins to be finally, 3 years later, put on the actual unit. So that's the only thing where it's like, I want to see this. I want to see this year. Everything else is kind of, there's nothing in the front of my mind, at least, where I'm like, oh, I hope Gibson, oh, right, I want a grabber. I want a grabber in a G3, because we've been going on this all the time.
Yeah, that's
apart from that, though, that's it.
Yeah, that's like, they need to do that. Epiphone, come on, like, what a...
Yeah, do an Epiphone G3, just go for it.
Sitting on a goldmine, honestly.
Absolutely.
So I would like to see that. In terms of other specific releases, I want to see the similar thing, but from Sterling. Like, give us a Saber. Oh, unless they're worried about the market of and thing about the Sabers, because they're quite rare and expensive. But like, I don't know, like, they'd sell, man. So give it to us. Give us what the people want. So I'd like to see that. Maybe a Sterling, although that's going to be a marketing nightmare. Yeah, I think it'd be cool. More Indonesian-made Music Man products, I think, would be really cool, because they've got quite an extensive range that we don't really see, apart from Stingrays, on the Indonesian range. So that would be very, very cool. Now let's move on to our personal goals of the year. Some bass-related, maybe some not bass-related. You know, we are humans, believe it or not. We're not just bass-playing gods. I'm definitely not. So, I mean, what's the first reaction, Chris, when I say, what is your main goal for 2024?
Is this bass related or not bass related?
Let's go bass related first.
Okay. Bass related, more work, obviously. I think that will always be the goal. I think I would like to... I don't practice and learn things just because I want to anymore. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that for at least 2 years. I haven't sat down and learnt a song for well over 18 months, definitely at least 2 years. That hasn't been for a work-related purpose. It's always been, if I'm learning songs, it's because I need to learn these 10 songs for a wedding or, you know, an artist or, you know, these kind of things. And as much as I enjoy that, I would like to sit down and just learn songs that I fancy learning. Like, you know, I'd like to start learning like a few of like my favorite albums front to back. Like, I'm really like, you know, a couple of like the earlier Nickelback albums have some pretty good bass parts on them. And like, you know, obviously like I'd love to learn the Black Album start to finish as well. And maybe some of the early Metallica albums. But things like that, or, you know, another thing I saw was I listened to, in the gym of all places, I listened to a live McFly album, and the bass parts were mental. Like, just like loads of high bits, nice low bits, like really well orchestrated. And I was like, I want to sit down and learn that. So
that's
I can
a good
go,
guest.
Yeah. Oh, hello. Hello, Dougie. If you're watching this, mate, you can absolutely come on. But I was, you know, things, it's like, oh, we're going from a G to an E flat. And there was this really good, like, walking bit into it. And I was like, I want to learn how to do that so I can apply those patterns to my own playing, because I'm a bit, I'm not stuck in a rut, but I know what I need to know to get through a gig. And I want to get a lot better at slap bass, like a lot better. I don't it's not a great call for it, but I would just like to know how to do it for my own personal enjoyment. So
nice.
Yeah, I'd say more practice that I am interested in, just for me. How
that's
about you?
A great one. That's a great one.
Oh, and less musical procrastination.
Aha, okay. So when I see you next, I want to hear that double thumb technique, please.
Absolutely. I'm only going to play Polyphia for the next 6 months. That is not true.
Hybrid technique in there.
Absolutely.
For me, bass playing wise, I would like to write more. I do quite a lot of writing for videos already.
Me too, yeah.
Like outside of that, not that much. And I'll write songs like that I'm playing, but I'm trying to make the bass line interesting. I'm trying to do it, whereas I'm not writing a song as such.
Yeah.
So, or I'm just trying to show off different bits about the bass or what sounds good. So I want to do more of that. And, you know, I've made two reels last year. Oh, one was this year. Bit of music behind it and drums and like the Foreign Saku video, and I did one with my Warwick five string that I had last year, and enjoy that, like that side of like doing little reels and demos and like playing more, and yeah, it just kind of inspired me a bit more, and I was like, I want to do more of that, and simple things I'm missing basically. So more writing, and similarly to you, more learning, because yeah, I'm very much the worst for staying in a rut and being comfortable in it and just being like, yeah, I know what I know, and that's fine. But, you know, it can just expand your knowledge so much more. And the Ian episode really showed that, I think, what that can do to your playing. So I think that's where I'd like to go as well. So, yeah. Right. Should we get deep? Should we talk about life for a bit?
I mean, I'd rather not, but okay.
Right. Not so deep then, but...
So I don't have a good relationship with my father, and
oh my god!
That's not true. That's
and I
not
love
true.
A Guinness.
My dad's great. Yeah, that's not true. My dad's great. He bloody drove me. Well, we didn't tell anyone. My dad drove me to Ashdown because my car wasn't in a good position to do a 5-hour drive. So my dad
he didn't
very
have
nicely
to peer in the window the whole time like this though.
He did. Yeah. My dad What's very nicely pod? For. Literally no reason. He had no need to go to Essex. A man from Wigan has no purpose in Essex, I can tell you that right now. I barely had no purpose in Essex.
Wow. Well, lovely man, Mr. Horrocks. Please,
lovely
Mr.
man.
Mr. Horrocks is my father.
Good old Jeff.
So, Jeff aside, I mean, unless Jeff's related to your goals for 2024.
No, not really. No.
Jeff is goals. That's what I meant.
Jeff is goals.
Looking forward to the year, what is your biggest kind of takeaway from last year? What are you thinking, right, my goals for this year? What do you want to do?
This year, aside from, I'll divide it in two. So we've got personal stuff, then we've got work. So I'll do the work one quickly. More work, obviously. Being like a freelancer and things like that, it's like I want to be playing with new people. I want to be playing again with people I've played with last year, more gigs with those people. I want to do more work with originals artists, not necessarily, not just Darla, not just like my own band, but like, you know, I've had a few people message me over the course of like last year being like, oh, I need a bass player for this EP I'm working on, and the conversations have just kind of like fizzled away, which has been a shame. Not because of anything like money or scheduling, it's just they've suddenly decided, oh, they'll just do it themselves. Or, you know, or the producer will just play bass on it, you know, things like that. I want to start doing that because ultimately for me, love playing weddings, love playing corporate gigs, all that kind of stuff. But what I want to be doing is touring original artists' music as a session player and or my own music as a member of a band. So that's that. Alongside that, I think I struggle with things like gratitude around my work. I can be very guilty of, I'm always thinking further ahead, you know, like I might be driving to a gig and I'm like, oh, I just want to get to the gig. And I'm like, what? You're in your car for the next hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. What could you be doing now to, you know, that's enjoyable, you know? This is a great opportunity to catch up on some podcasts that you've not listened to yet, or, you know, doing an audio book. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to be somewhere and consume something interesting as opposed to just wishing for that bit to end. And I've even done it when I've been on stage. Like I've been playing a gig, like a wedding gig, like a 2 60-minute sets, 3 60-minute sets. And I've been like, just kind of waiting for it to end. And that's like, that's bad. Like, I don't want to be doing that. So gratitude in the moment, you know, those are kind of things that I'm trying to work on, because I can be very guilty of thinking too far ahead and not being present where I am right now and enjoying these moments. And then personally, this year, health. It's all health this year. Your boy's got a bit of timber and he wants to get it gone. So especially turning the dreaded 3-0 near the end of this year, I want to roll into my 30s looking shredded. So I'm starting now. I already started, but that's kind of like the outside of work goal, getting back into a good shape that I'm happy with. Not necessarily like a physical appearance thing. It's like a self-confidence, want to get that better. I've got clothes that don't fit me that well at the moment that I want to fit better. You know, all these kind of things. Spending too much time near you and you're a nice tall string bean and I'm 5'10" and look like a baked potato. So I'm trying to get that sorted. But yeah, improving the work, gratitude, better health.
You know, there's physical, there's mental, and it's all achievable.
Yeah. Oh, and sleep.
That's a big one.
Like, my sleep's bad, man. Bad. So that's like an active, like I'm actively thinking about, like, what am I doing leading up to bedtime? What can I do to be prioritizing sleep? How can I fall asleep quicker? How can I be more refreshed in the morning? Because I'm just not doing these things.
Yeah.
But yeah. I've monologued enough. I'd said that's it for me. What about
that's
you?
That's excellent. Thank you for sharing that with us. Chris, was your name Chris? Thank you, Chris. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jeff.
I think, am I your dad? Is that where we're going? Did you just call me Jeff?
There's a jolt there and we're not going any further. Leave it. We have shared
Daddy
a bed
Dibble
together.
Here.
There we go, Daddy Dibble.
Wow. So, goals for me, there's a couple of things really. I want to spend a bit more time. I find that my time is spent on Instagram, like, you know, like not, I wouldn't say doom scrolling, but just like caring too much about numbers and this video's only got this.
Yeah,
like,
me
this
too.
Time, this
we
thumbnail.
Talk about this a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And I do enjoy it. Like, I enjoy social media for that. But I feel like it comes at a detriment sometimes when, like, I'll be doing that and ignoring a group chat going on with my friends or something like that. Like, I'm like, well, really, that I need to be more. This is all really weird, like, constantly online thing of like, I need to be more present whilst online. That sounds weird level. But, you know, keep in contact with people a bit better, you know. Value that a bit more over my own selfish goals and like what I want from platforms and stuff and content, you know. So taking more of a personal approach to social media rather than that. I would like to, simple one, but I used to be really, really good at drinking loads of water and I've really slipped on that.
I've genuinely thought you were going to go, I'm actually really good at drinking, and I'd like to get back to that.
Those were good years, man. Like I said, those were good years, man.
Don't remember them, but they were good.
Need to do it. Need to do it whilst I can. So yeah, that's a very simple one. I want to do more of that, please. And I've actually got some like plans in place for what I want to do with the channel. I want to change things up. I feel a bit stagnant, like growth, you know, going back to like numbers, growth has kind of, you know, went woo and like big. And then the only things I've seen were big spikes on is from doing list content. And we've spoken about this before. I hate it. I hate doing list content. I don't think it's that interesting. I don't know. People like it, but I don't like it. And that's what I have to put first. It's a hobby and fun at the end of the day. And if I don't like doing that, I'm not going to do it. I don't feel knowledgeable enough to be the top five funk players. You know, like, I'm just not interested in that.
It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult, isn't it? Because it's like you look at, you know, I'm just thinking of like other bass creators who are like just everywhere. It's like Danny Sapko is everywhere. Like you can't escape him. And all of his content is like, what if this, top five this. It's all like short form. But it's everywhere. Like if I open the short section of Instagram, the first two or three are him. It's not like he pops up in the first like 10. He is like the first three on my feed. And then Scott's Bass Lessons obviously have a lot of success with like the, they started doing more long form content again, which I've been really enjoying. Like the long form interviews with people like, Michael League and stuff like that and Guy Pratt, but they for years they were like, you know, top five Steve Harris bass lines or you know, top five funk players, you know, those are all the feeding into the algorithm. And I suppose it's different goals for them and you, because for them it's a funnel to ultimately bring you down to join the site and pay for the subscription, whereas you're not doing that. You just want the views. But then at the same time, I guess, speaking as you, if you're not doing it for fun, what's the point? It's like, and I come back to this, it's like, if I'm not playing this thing here for fun, even though it's my job, I could just get a job. I could just go back to sales. And yeah, I won't be fulfilled. But then I won't be fulfilled doing this either. So
yeah, but then the thing that brings you fulfillment could bring you fulfillment again as a hobby, you know, because when you get back from gig, you're not like, oh, I want to play some bass.
Yeah, it's proven time and time again, like when human beings are paid to do something, they enjoy the same task less.
Mm. Exactly.
Which is mental. And then there's like an Oscar Wilde quote? There's something about discovering like your passion and doing your passion in life. It's like you're cursed to do that passion. It's almost like the curse of discovering your passion is you are doomed to do it every day. It's something like that, and it makes you think like, oh yeah, like this was something that I just loved doing when I wanted to have fun, but now I have to do it all the time.
Yeah, and that's something that like did kind of happen a little bit last year with the channel stuff. I was like struggling to make it consistent. I think that's where I've had some issues as well, is the consistency's gone, and like my time is just getting zapped up, and I'm like, how am I gonna like do this? And then it becomes a stress, and then I'm working with brands, and then I'm like, oh, I have to get that video out on them, you know. Woe is me at the end of the day. But I want to be more
other thing, because there'll be pardon my French, but there'll be people listening to this going, will you two just shut the fuck up, like you know, you two like I'd rip my toenails off to do what you do for a living. You know, and there will be people who do that, which also we talked about this when we had Daisy on. You know, it makes me think, like, I'm talking about these problems, like, how dare I think about these problems? Like, I used to sit in an office and go, God, I wish I was doing this for a living. And now I am doing that for a living. And I still sit here and go, oh, there's all these problems. Then again, there's always problems. Like, no job is perfect. This is a job. No. There are pros and cons of it. But at the same time, it's like, doing exactly what you wanted to do 2 years ago. Like, shut up, man. Like, shut up.
yeah.
Everything is proceeding according to plan.
Absolutely. And you're on the up, baby. I think, you know, I say all that, but then one of my goals like completely contradicts it, because the change in the channel, and I've got like business idea I want to do as well, like they both involve way more time. So I don't know where this is going to happen, but I would like to perhaps achieve or work towards achieving that, or organizing my life in a way that allows for a bit more of that, or to do other things a little bit more. So yeah, bit of a mess kind of what I want, but I've got ideas and some goals in there. So there we go. 2024, let us know, please, below. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're on Instagram, please comment away or send us a message. What your goals are, what your base goals are, what your life goals are for 2024. And maybe we'll check in next year and see where we're at.
We'll check in next year when it all went so much worse. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that none of our goals, it was nothing podcast related.
No, and I think it's interesting that, because like with the podcast, it's just, I just feel like it's all proceeding to plan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, obviously more guests, more bigger guests, more in-person stuff. That's like bigger and better opportunities for us. You know, I'd like a better set behind me, you know, kind of just, I'm basically in like the spare room of my house, you know, these kind of things, better microphone, better cameras. There's all things, but it's like with the podcast, it's kind of like, I don't sit there and it's almost like, so the fitness thing, I need to work on that goal to achieve said goal. With the podcast, there's still work obviously involved behind it, but I look at that and go, no, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. I don't feel like it could happen, but we need to do this, but me and Johnny need to do that, but then I need to do this and Johnny needs to do that. I don't think about that. I look at the podcast and go, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I'm not thinking about it too much.
With this, you know, lifting the veil a bit, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants a little bit sometimes, when we're just like, right, let's do that, let's do this, and we'll get this person on and we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's part of it. I think it's quite freeing in that way, and it's not too, like, you know, regimented.
Yeah, it's not an aggressively regimented, you know, on Tuesday evenings we do this, and then Wednesday is editing, and then Thursday is this. It's kind of been like a, when are you free this week? I'm not free till Thursday. Yeah, but that means we've got to edit it on Friday, get it on Saturday, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, it makes it feel a bit more, this is the thing. It's like, we enjoy doing this and we put all this time in for no money. But
zero.
In a few months, in 12 months, I mean, someone could literally message us tomorrow and be like, we want to pay you to do the podcast. And then we will, because it's proven in the human psyche, we will stop enjoying it because it will become work, even though it could literally be hours early. Like, someone could message us within 5 minutes of this podcast ending and go, I own a podcast network, blah, 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 blah. We want to pay you to do the podcast. But then we'll slowly hate it. And then we've got to sit there and go, no, but we loved this. Yeah. We do it all this time for free. And then it becomes like a business thing. And at the moment, it's fun. Like, we just have fun. There's almost no expectation. We have a schedule, but that's it. And if something comes up, like if me and you had to ditch the schedule, like, you know, like a family emergency or something like that, it meant there'd be like, you know, the Christmas episode was a week delayed because we had a load of technical problems. We don't care. There's no contractual thing behind this. If we have to not do one for a month, we don't do one for a month.
It's a thing, and it's just fun. It's just enjoyable, and it's kind of freeing not having regimented plans. But that's because the growth is there as well. Like, it's getting better. Things are happening all the time.
Oh yeah, that too.
In micro doses, you know. So that's great. And you know, all of that doesn't happen without you guys at home. So thank you so much to everyone that has given us a follow, a share, things like that. Tell your friends, tell your bass playing friends that you need to check out this podcast with these two funky fellows.
Bass players, not our friends, Johnny. We've been over this.
Okay, with your mums, I don't know. They might love it. They might like these two handsome hunks, you know, talking to them like this into their ears, you know. Maybe we should pivot.
When was the last time you changed your strings?
I bet it was never, you filthy, filthy dog.
You dirty pig.
You dirty pig.
You dirty pig.
let's round things off there. Everyone, thank you so much for, like I said, giving us a follow, a share, rating us 5 stars on your listening platform of choice. It really helps us reach more people, grow the podcast. That is what we want to do. And we love hearing feedback from you guys. So thank you so much to everyone that's done that already. If you want to watch this, if you're not already watching it, head over to YouTube. Just search In the Pocket Podcast. I'm sure you'll find us. Subscribe to us on there and like the video. Comment down below what your goals are for this year. And make sure you follow us on Instagram at In the Pocket Pod. Chris, speaking of Instagram, where can people find you?
You can find me quite literally everywhere under That Guy on Base. I do things. I post about what I get up to. I do things. And yeah, please consider having a look at my band called Darla. We're on tour in 3 weeks today. No, it's just over 3 weeks today. I think it's 3 weeks and 4 days or something like that. But yeah, we're going all around the UK supporting a lovely band called As Everything Unfolds. I have yet to confirm from Johnny whether he'll be attending. So it would be funny if he didn't come. That would kind of be kind of funny. But
I will deliver a cardboard cutout of myself.
Just like get really arsy about wanting get guest list. And then when I tell you I can't give anyone any guest list ever because need the money, then go, oh, I'm not coming now. Do you know who I am? Please. I've already had that, by the way. I've already had a few people be like, oh, any guest list going for X date? And I'm like, hey, I don't want to lift the veil on you here, but my band is getting about 50 quid a day for running costs on tour. It's like, listen, I need your 7 quid, pal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on. No, I will be there. I'll be in Bristol. They're not
lovely stuff. We'll have to see you. We can there's been a few listeners of the podcast which are very nice. They've been like, yeah, I'll be there in Plymouth or Newcastle and stuff. And it'd be very nice. It'd be nice to meet some people who listen to them or people that I know through Instagram and meet them face to face. Please explain who you are if you come up to me, because I will sit there going, who is this guy? Like, I know this name very loosely. I'm terrible with names. I'm all
just tell
okay
me your
faces.
Instagram
and
handle.
Even worse. Yeah, walk up to me with your Instagram handle, say like you listen to the podcast or if we've met before, because otherwise I will not remember and I will feel genuinely terrible afterwards. So but yeah, I'm very excited to meet some people, play some gigs. Should be fun. The logistics, absolute nightmare. But the rest of it, really good.
Fantastic. Oh, well, I cannot wait. I'm excited for you and excited for me to be in that crowd.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very, very good.
Absolutely. Sitting there, you're going to do the thing of stand at the front with your arms crossed, looking at my gear like,
No, I'm going to be like...
Yeah, exactly. That face, yeah.
No cap on stage.
Ugh.
Who's this guy? If you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at Johnny Dibble. And the same, go and subscribe over on YouTube / Dibble as well. I think that's it from me, folks. Anything else you want to add, Chris, before we sign this baby off?
Nothing from me. Hope everyone's had a happy new year. Smash your goals.
You got this.
Apart from
slap those goals right in the face.
You got this. Get that thumb and smack it straight into your goals.
Nice.
Every goal's a hole.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.